The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Oops, the podcast. I am Julio. I'm joined by Francis. Francis, how you doing?
Swell. Good to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you too, man. Dude, I'm like a month into this sort of like dietary thing. And I had this like sad realization the other day that my goal for summer is to look good in a t-shirt.
That's a good goal.
That's how you know you've just like crossed into a territory where you're just never going to be like shred bro ever again. Who knows? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But for now, my goal, looking great in a tee.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a very achievable. You look pretty good in a t-shirt as
is. I look all right. I'm getting there.
How would you rate your, maybe this is too personal, but for your own self-evaluation, one being the worst you've ever looked. Mm-hmm. Most ashamed you've ever been of your body, 10 being your favorite body you've ever had, sexiest you've ever felt. Mm-hmm. How would you rate yourself right now?
Probably 3.25.
Oh, that's low.
It's low. I'm just saying, based on my like adult body, I'm definitely towards, even though I've come a long way, I was a one at some point.
You were a one recently?
When I got back from Alaska, I was a one.
Come on. Really?
That was the worst I've ever looked in my life. Yeah. The most I've ever weighed. It was the worst I've ever looked. Fine with it.
Does your girlfriend ever say anything about it? Does she ever mention anything?
If I make a self-deprecating comment, she'll be like, I like you in all forms, which is sort of, it's not correcting me.
But hold on. Supportive. Is there a part of you that wishes that she would apply a little more pressure?
No.
Definitely if she not. Ever said anything like, hey, you should go work out today, would that rub you the wrong way?
I wouldn't love it. But dude, my problem isn't doing. My problem is not doing, which I've gotten much better at in the past month or so. I've like trimmed a couple percentages of body fat, which I'm proud of. And my problem is never going to the gym. I can go to the gym. That's easy for me.
Right.
My problem is, getting on that good routine where I'm making healthy choices, eating healthy, whatever. And this nutritionist dude I've been going to has been really helpful. So I'm going to keep fighting the good fight.
Who can you hear feedback from anyone?
About my body?
About your body.
It doesn't feel good. It certainly can't. Like there have been times where I've gotten unwanted feedback that really hurt my feelings.
Really?
That helped me get in shape.
Yeah.
That expedited the process.
Well, so then.
I feel motivated though.
But that sounds like, then did you look back and were you happy that someone had said something?
No. I was happy that I got in shape, but I was upset still at the person who did it. I still don't like
Let's say that you hired a personal trainer who was just all over you, mm-hmm. and didn't let you slip for a second and even maybe used a little bit of tough love.
It's just not the right approach, I don't think.
Okay, interesting.
Like I would love to have a 24/7 personal trainer, and there's stories about this. Like some hedge fund guy hired the Marine.
The guy who lived with him.
And even he'd like come into board meetings and make him drop and give him 20 type of thing.
That's nuts.
But dude, that is nuts. But it is nice to have that constant supervision. So what I've done is anytime I feel myself starting to maybe, if I'm like on the brink of getting into slip mode, I schedule an appointment with the nutritionist and it snaps me back into a
interesting
positive.
We talk a lot about diet and wellness and fitness on our show. And I hope it's okay for people. I get messages from people all the time asking for, help or just some tips or ideas about how to sort of get into a routine. That's the biggest thing that people ask about. It's like, how do you form a habit of either going to the gym or eating healthier? And I actually took the time with this one guy who messaged me. I won't say his name because I think he was kind of struggling a little bit, but And I took the time to really lay out a game plan for him, just tips that I guess I've used. And one of the things that I wrote to him that I hadn't really thought of before is the importance of getting to bed early and waking up early in how it affects your diet.
I would agree with that.
It frames your day around your meals at more consistent times. And it also eliminates the opportunity to be grazing at like midnight.
And it's sort of like, it also eliminates the urge to, like when you're on that healthy eating schedule.
Yeah.
It's really true, man. And even from the standpoint of a person who's sort of like fluctuated, I've like gotten there before. I feel like I'm on my way back. I will say that both of the times where I've gotten in, that I've been in shape or making progress or whatever, I have had what you're talking about going on.
Yeah.
Going to bed early, waking up naturally early, eating breakfast right away.
Eat breakfast as quickly as you can, because then you will be hungrier for lunch earlier. And that's good. I'm starving for lunch at 11:30.
Same.
Starving for lunch. And then I eat at 11:30, and then I have some kind of a bar or a thing at like 2:30, 3 p.m. And then I work out, and then I'm hungry as hell for dinner at 7:30. Great. I haven't eaten anything after 10 p.m. in years.
How do you structure your weekend?
Well, things might fall a little bit looser.
But that's good.
On the weekend.
That's intentional, right? Like that you're in control of that.
Right? Yeah, you know, you don't need to be crazy.
Yeah.
But you just like, how do I structure on the weekend?
I think that people might have trouble imagining how a guy who's in, you know, peak physical condition like yourself would have balance. And I can speak to the fact that Francis is, from what I can see, a fairly balanced individual. I've drank 6 margaritas with the guy. You know what I mean?
You
can fucking Delish. Toss him back. He's not like, I'll have a seltzer water. Like Francis is fucking ripping him, dude.
I throw him back.
He throws him back.
Here's what I would say on the weekend, right? If you're going to go out to an 11 o'clock brunch and throw down some huevos rancheros and 4 margaritas and a couple beers, that's fine. And then you're going to maybe eat pizza at 5 p.m. Also fine. And, you know, pass out at midnight or whatever, have a crazy day. But then your Sunday, try to like pull yourself together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Try to pull, even if you eat poorly on Sunday, like try to eat at better times. Don't be eating ice cream Sundays. Don't say that because one day went to hell that both days need to go to hell.
Totally. And that'll eliminate what they call the scaries too.
Yeah.
Like in my opinion, dude, like having like a big Friday and then like you even said like maybe you go to brunch, whatever. But if you can like get that out of your system earlier in the weekend, Monday feels better. I've found.
Yeah. Monday shouldn't be some jarring dropped out of a different world
experience
coming back. Like, oh my God. Like as if you have to readjust to a new time zone and diet and a new world of like life again. You know, the discrepancy between my Sundays and my Mondays is not so great anymore that I find it disorienting. It's not.
Right. Dude, totally. And that's, in my opinion, sort of the goal. You'll feel better.
But it's funny you mentioned this, Julia. We're off to Jamaica tomorrow morning. As this episode comes out, I'll be back from Jamaica. But Jamaica, I'm very, very excited about. And my girlfriend made a really interesting point. We have not been on vacation, she and I, since we went to France. Two summers
that's
ago.
That's like right when we started the pod.
Yeah. We haven't been on a vacation together since then.
Whoa. Really?
We went to like, you know, the Hamptons over the 4th of July
with
two other friends, two other couples in the house. But we took like one day off.
Right.
And just sat around, you know, with our friends.
You haven't left the country.
You made such a great point in a recent episode where you said there's such a difference between a trip and a vacation.
Totally.
And I would say we've only done trips, really.
Interesting.
And this is going to be a true vacation.
Hell yeah, dude.
Where I'm like, I said this to myself. I can't wait to unplug and just look at my phone for hours.
What do you mean?
I mean, I love the idea of like unplugging from work and just playing like Candy Crush on my phone for three hours.
Yes.
Like, I won't do that. Around. But I think unplugging from your phone and being able to just scroll Instagram, I won't do this, guilt-free. But I think that's a funny idea.
Totally.
But to not care about having a drink at, you know, 1 p.m. on a weekday, or just to, I don't know.
Dude, it's great.
It's going to be
incredible. You're going to forget what day it is. You're going to be smoking a bunch of weed. You're going to be having a fucking blast.
I'm so pumped. But get this. Someone asked my girlfriend, like, you know, I don't know what they said. You know, have you guys been on a vacation together, and how will this compare? Are you looking forward to this? Maybe I asked her, you know, because I mentioned the France trip and how much fun we had on that. And she goes, yes. At the same time, the France trip happened 2 days after the most catastrophic thing,
dude,
that has ever happened to my career.
Totally.
So it was a little bit hard.
A little bittersweet.
For me to go full vacation mode, stay present, dude. You know, really lavish in the
absolutely
moment, and that,
dude, it's a miracle that you were even able to like enjoy it at all.
So this is the first vacation that we are going on since in 2 years, at least, maybe ever, as a couple.
Dude, it's gonna be one of the, you're gonna be so happy you did it.
I can't wait. Now here's my question, right? We're talking about it on the podcast. Our fans know me, they know us. But I am keenly aware that in this moment in time, amid the coronavirus and the number of people who have lost their jobs, small businesses, people being, you know, having very polarizing opinions about whether or not traveling is a good idea, mm-hmm. is publicizing my vacation a really bad look?
So it's a great question. And I, you know, have thought about this a lot since, you know, that I have sort of probably traveled more than most people during all this. And I'm sure that, and people have said things to me or whatever. But I don't understand why that means that you're not supposed to do it. Like, I just don't, I get the idea that like, maybe it's a bad look to like really post a ton about it. But then I also think, dude, like, what would a rapper do? You think a rapper... would a rapper care that someone was like, you're traveling during, you know what I mean? Like, rappers don't care.
We're not rappers.
Rappers have
though.
Cheetahs in their pictures. They don't give a fuck when people are like, oh, you have a cheetah that's like fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking like there's kind of a give and take there. Like, why can't you travel safely? Why can't you abide by the rules, wear the mask, do the things that you're supposed to do, and why and travel? Why can't you do that?
I agree. I think that there are levels of it though, right? I think domestic travel is a little bit more forgiven than international travel.
But that
travel.
Doesn't make sense. This is the place where everybody has it. When you go somewhere else, there's less of it there.
That's
inevitably.
A great point. Most people aren't thinking that globally though.
People globally think, what do you mean?
No, I'm saying like our, you know, woke Americans on social media are not, there's such an American-centric view of like,
by,
you know,
protect by
our
Americans.
Country and whatever else. But you're absolutely right. Jamaica.
There is no COVID.
Was like, well, they have COVID there.
Right.
But they like, were like, if you're coming to our country from any of these countries, you better get like your United shit States. Together. Yes. And the United States was top of the list.
Totally. Like, why can't, dude, I don't know. I understand the argument that's like, if nobody moved, this would be over, that argument. Which seems like it's too cut and dry to even be true. But let's say that that is true. I get it. I do understand. But like, that's not the reality of what is going to happen.
Right.
So therefore, are you supposed to just not do anything the whole time? Like, I just, you know, I struggle with that a bit.
Am I supposed to go and not flaunt it? Is my question on social media. Now, I'm not somebody who posts tons of pictures being like, you know, I'm not missing the weather in New York or like pretty nice day here. I'm not that guy. If anything, I would try to come up with something funny, you know, on the beach or whatever, totally. Snorkeling, whatever the hell it is, some goofy thing. But I I don't know. I feel weird doing that.
Totally.
And I worry about the backlash.
I have thought about it, and I came to the conclusion each time that I would still post, and I did.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a little bit of shit for it, but not that much. And I don't know, man. Like
I think certain people have the swagger to not give a shit. It's like you talk about the rappers, Andrew Schultz.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck. He'll do whatever he wants. Like, deal. What are you mad at me for being on a beach? I earned this.
And dude, and you know, there's something to that. You know, what I mean?
I agree. It's a better way to live.
It's a better way to live. I think it's nice of you to think that way. And I know that I don't want to seem like I'm not compassionate towards people who have lost loved ones or, you know, and I don't know if you guys have, yeah. But like, you know, it's been a fucked up time. And certainly I do not underestimate the virus at all. I wear masks. I do all the protocol, but that doesn't mean that I need to just fucking have an anchor on my,
yeah,
on my ankle. Also, I don't know, man.
The other part of it is, here's my take. My take would be, I don't have a problem with people saying you shouldn't post photos of your expensive vacation. You know, it's tone deaf. It's out of touch with the time. Lots of people are struggling right now. All of that. I don't have a problem with that. But if that's how you feel, you should feel that way all the time. You should feel that way when there's no pandemic. You should feel that way towards influencers when they're posting, when, like, you know, there are still homeless people. There's always a better way to spend your money than vacation.
Yeah.
There's always some cause that is more noble towards which influencers and these nonsense people could theoretically, if they were, you know, so altruistic that was their moral compass, just pushed them towards it, that they could, you know, dedicate their life to that. So why take issue with it now?
Right.
Which is what you're saying.
And I understand the idea of taking issue with it to some degree. You just have to decide, you know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen if you post? Think about that.
Well, I'm fortunate that I'm in a position where nobody takes me that seriously. Right. So, cause I'm a comedian. I've done enough work on I've posted enough work on my social media, as I've said, that, like, I'm still surprised when anyone takes me seriously, but even people who would get mad would be like, well, clearly he's trying, you know, this guy's a joke.
But that's not the issue. Like, you being silly or not doesn't matter. Like, you're still in Jamaica at a nice spot.
But, you know, even if I posted something, a picture of myself in Jamaica,
I get what you're saying. You're saying that there's an angle there. You're not just like, look at me, I'm doing something sick. You're like doing funny stuff.
You're still creating
kind of like Francisified,
right?
Francis specific content.
Here's another example. Okay, so I think it was like a day or two after George Floyd was killed, mm-hmm. where you know, the country erupted, and a friend of mine had just gotten out to Montauk, and this guy is just a little bit unaware. And it's like,
so he's posting, right.
He's
right,
not
right.
being venomous in doing it, but he, you know, he posted like an Instagram or a story of himself, like being like, just got to Montauk, like blah, blah, blah. And it's awesome. And our friend group, a lot of people came down on him, mm-hmm. for it. I didn't say anything because, you know, but for his own protection,
I'm fine with that.
People were like, dude, this isn't the time.
I'm fine with that.
You know, you shouldn't do this.
Totally. That was a different thing, dude.
I agree.
We didn't put out a clip that day. We, like, I was all about that shit.
I agree. But my point being, right, you know, I guess it's like, who determines when the time is wrong to post yourself having fun?
Totally.
Like, what are the
issues? That is one of the times. There's time, and you know what? When it's that time, it should be pretty obvious.
But dude, there are people who will always say it's the wrong time.
Yeah,
like there might be people who say, like, how dare you post a photo of your dog today? Don't you know this is National Dog Remembrance Day? where the 400 huskies of the Iditarod were murdered, you know, by hornets out in Alaska, and like how insensitive. Yeah. You never know.
But you're right. You're right. But dude, at the same token, there's easy ways to prevent reasonable backlash. One of them is just violating the fucking rules. Like, you know, there's a quarantine that you should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way for the government to enforce it or whatever. And maybe they do in some cases, but like you come back, you're supposed to quarantine for 3 days till you can test out of it, right? If you come back from Jamaica and the day after you get back, you're fucking out jerking off on the pier or whatever, doing whatever and filming it, that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be following the rules, being a team player. And that is you not being a team player. I agree. You should get shit for that.
I guess this is a great point. If our government and the Federal Aviation Association allows me through, even though it was very difficult to travel abroad, I had to get my COVID test. I had to fill out all these waivers.
Yeah.
We have a driver picking us up. It's super fucking expensive and annoying. We have to basically stay on the resort. There's a curfew in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. We can't go to like hike or see natural sites or any of the shit that we had kind of thought we might do. All this stuff. We have to get a COVID test while we're there. And we're only there for 4 fucking days. Present that in order to come back into the country. And if that's negative and then we get back, we can wait 3 days and test again. We're going to do all of that.
Right.
But if there is a system in place for traveling abroad that is still approved by our government, then
why shouldn't you do it?
Follow the law.
Dude, you haven't gone anywhere in fucking 2 years. You're losing it. You're going ape shit about the toaster. We need to get you out of here, dude. We get Francis out of America. That's the initiative here.
He's gots to go.
Well, dude, very good points. An interesting discussion for sure, but I think you're going to have a great time. And do you have to get tested right when you get to the hotel too?
Well, we've got our negative tests. I don't think so. We're getting our test there like the 2 days after we arrive.
Right, to be able to come back. Because I remember when we went to the Bahamas, when you arrive at the hotel, they give you a rapid and they make you stay in your hotel room till the results come back.
That's wild. I don't know that they have that set up.
Crazy time.
But I'm so hype. So hype.
Dude, so I've been doing these like Aerodyne bike workouts.
Oh, so hard.
They suck, obviously. But I was with our buddy Dylan Palladino.
Oh yeah, D-Pal. And
he has one in his apartment.
Wow, good for him.
Dude, by the way, he has his brothers are twins and they're identical twins. They're both Army Rangers who are like trilingual. Like impressive. Speaking of large, the family of large men.
And what happened to Dylan?
I know, fucking Dylan, dude.
Sitting there talking into his microphone.
Well, anyway, he gave me these like Aerodyne bike workouts and I've been doing them. They're great. The only problem, dude, is that my entire genital region falls asleep.
Oh, gosh.
So when I get off the bike, it starts to come back the way it does when you sleep on your arm. Yeah. And dude, I'm not going to lie. It's one of the most incredibly stimulating feelings I've ever experienced in my life.
Are you just sitting on your own dick and balls?
No.
Is it under you?
So back to, you know, call back to last episode, but the taint, there's something about the way that the seat is kind of jamming into the sort of no man's land down there. And it just it cuts off the blood supply and it comes back and it feels insane.
Wow. Like
in a really good way. I look forward to it.
That's unusual. No, nor was I. I thought it was going to hurt.
The Aerodyne bike, man. It's crazy. It feels crazy.
Huh.
I don't know. Whatever.
Wow. Okay, by the way, people always talk about that. Have you ever heard this comparison? What's more painful, being kicked in the balls or giving birth?
What's the answer? I mean, there's no way.
My thought is that there's no man who ever said like, "Hey, babe, I know this is a big deal, but I think we're ready for you to kick me in the balls." I don't think any man has ever asked his wife to kick him in the balls because he loves her so much and they want to like be ball kickers together.
Do Dude, it's a tough comparison because nobody could ever know the way it feels to be the other one. The kicking of the balls serves no purpose, unfortunately.
You ever been kicked or punched in the balls really bad?
Yeah, I've gotten like hit with a softball in the balls. It was terrible. And it feels like...
You want to throw up.
You want to throw up and also shit your pants at the same
time. It's the worst thing I ever, dude. It's the worst
feeling in the world.
Oh my God. I've had one time...
Balls suck, dude.
It's so bad. It's so bad. One time I was playing in a lacrosse scrimmage and, you know, for 95% of the time I played lacrosse, I wore a cup, obviously.
Of course.
But for some reason, I just hadn't packed it this day. And so I was out there and you're basically just hoping. You know, it's on your mind, by the way, that when you're playing lacrosse without a cup, that at any second, your life could be ruined.
Yeah.
Because it's such a contact sport.
Why would you ever do that?
I didn't have it with me. Oh, I didn't have a choice.
Right.
So I was out there playing, and dude, some guy with a D pole, like a long defensive stick, rap checked me in the shaft and at the top, like towards the top. I'm not kidding you. I thought he had cut my dick off.
Oh my
God. I thought he had sliced through like the head of my penis was gone.
Fucking Lorena Bobbitt situation.
I went down and then after, I don't know, 5 minutes of gasping, went to the bathroom to check. And I was so terrified that my penis was going to be severed.
You hadn't touched yet? You were too afraid?
No, I was too afraid and too embarrassed. And like, I didn't want to, you know, pull out a piece of my penis on the field.
Dude.
And fortunately, it was still attached, but there was a big, you know, very clear mark just right across. It was bad.
Did you pee blood?
I didn't, fortunately.
Christ, dude.
But yeah, it was bad.
Guys, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, fill in the blanks here. If I were in a concert right now and I said, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I'd then turn the microphone to all of you sitting in the stadium. And you would all yell, Anchor, Anchor. And then you'd say, go to anchor.fm to download the software where you could host your very own podcast, see all the best analytics. You could see it in a way that was really user-friendly and nice and not too technical and industry jargony. It's a way that any person can look at it and be like, ooh, that's pretty. And also it's our podcast. And there's no minimum listenership required to advertise and monetize. So you can immediately have ads when you hit the ground running. It's really exciting, really spectacular. If you want to start your very own podcast, anchor.fm, download it now. Okay, dude, we got some pretty good emails
here. Bring them on, baby. The emails, okay. Emails.
So this one is pretty interesting. It's titled, My Ex's Tinder Profile from Hell.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, I found your podcast because Francis once popped up on my Instagram Explore page, and I became enamored with his jaw.
Thank you very much.
I listen to you guys while I work in my wood shop and have almost cut off my finger because I started laughing while operating power tools. Oh, LOL. Pretty good.
Nice.
Anyway, I love your opinion on exes Tinder profiles.
Okay.
A few years ago, I broke up with my ex of a few years and about a month later was sent screenshots of his Tinder.
Is this a girl?
Yes.
Who operates power tools in a woodshed?
Right? Fucking hot.
Okay.
Every single picture was a picture of him and I. But he edited the Wilson ball from Castaway over my face. She goes, just looking for some confirmation that this is fucking weird, right? Still makes me laugh to this day because now I'm dating an amazing guy who also happens to be a hot doctor. Win-win, am I right? Anyway, love the show. But dude, look at these pictures. They're insane.
She sent them.
Dude.
Wait.
These are crazy.
I just don't. Really understand this. Well, every picture is him with her and then the ball over her face.
The Wilson ball over her face.
It's funny, but it's also very committed to the bit.
It's really fucked up. It's like, what girl is seeing that and being like, oh, this guy is a guy I want to go out with? At least crop the pit. Like,
yeah,
that's is this, odd. Did he do this purely for like revenge?
I think he probably, that's like, he lost a fantasy league or something.
Dude, like what the fuck?
That's odd. That's odd. Let's try to reason out. Let's play a game here, Julio.
Right, let's do it.
Okay. I think we should do this.
Let's do it.
So your mentality, right? Mm-hmm. When you see this email is that this guy's crazy. This is weird.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to force you, for the sake of debate,
okay,
to argue on his behalf.
Okay.
This was an exercise we used to do.
Okay. Okay.
Have we done this before?
We've talked about it. I'm down to play this role.
Okay. You need to tell me why that guy, John, using a photoshopped Wilson castaway ball over the face of his ex-girlfriend in lots of pictures on his Tinder profile is a fantastic strategy. And not weird at all.
Well, Francis, it's not a fantastic strategy, but it's the only strategy.
Okay.
Because after the breakup, you know, he got a little bit depressed and he went through it a bit and he sort of went through all the pictures that he had and he realized that his best pictures were pictures of himself with his ex-girlfriend. Now he could have gone the crop route, but you'll notice that in the picture, they're boyfriend and girlfriend. There's a lot of overlapping body parts. And in order to do that, he would literally have to cut his body off. And that just wouldn't look normal.
Right.
So it made more sense to be like, you know, this guy has a sense of humor. Maybe he could play the angle that like his ex was really shitty to him, whether or not that's true. And he goes, you know, it's a funny talking point and a way to get a conversation started while also buying him some time to get his body back to where it used to be.
I think that's actually spot on. And in fact, you argue that so well that I am now convinced. I'm now convinced that this actually is a normal thing, right? So like you're in a relationship for a long time. All of your pictures, your recent pictures are with your girlfriend. He's not going to go back to pictures from years earlier to use for his dating app.
When he's a boy, when he's but a boy.
So all he has, all his best pictures are pictures of him with his ex-girlfriend. And then to recognize the weirdness of it and as a sort of an impish wink or a little hat tip to the absurdity of it, he superimposes a very popular pop culture reference over her face. Hopefully, girls will think that that's kind of funny, and it's a talking point, as you said. Fantastic strategy. In fact, if I'm ever single, it's going to be something I use, I would think.
This guy.
See what I'm saying?
This guy's a hero.
Yeah.
That was fun. What
okay,
a fun
good.
Exercise.
Good. It's very good
important little segment.
To put the shoe on the other foot every once in a while. Clover robes are great for drinking and you're pulling by the pool or wearing other robes and then you're going to the school. Someday we'll know the words.
But dude, it doesn't matter. That's the beauty of the Clover Rogues jingle.
You can put anything on it. We're back to sing you another song about our dear Clover Robes that we love so much.
Dude, these things are great.
Listen, guys, honestly, we plug a lot of stuff on the podcast, but man, look at what we're wearing. These things are awesome.
They're awesome.
Thermoregulating, moisture wicking.
Dude, exactly.
That's all you need to know.
What he said.
Colorful. Dude,
the other beautiful thing about Plover is the culture of Plover.
Yeah.
We love the people who run the company.
Great.
They're
culture.
Awesome. They're just great younger fucking kids hustling and killing
right.
it.
They are.
And they made these because they needed something when they were out in Wyoming and they had to run to the hot spring in the middle of the winter. Yeah. They wanted something that could kind of like keep them warm, that would allow them to be kind of nimble enough to move quickly from the house to the water.
Yeah.
And they came up with this. And so Plover robes were birthed.
Yeah. You know, what an amazingly, I don't know how, and nobody else had seen the hole in the market for hot spring to and fro apparel, but they sure, the fact that nobody'd come up and, you know, filled that need, boy, because that's a big demand. There's got to be a lot of demand for that, you know?
Absolutely. Another thing that I recommend that you do with the Plover robe, you can be a man or a woman and do this. You bring somebody home.
Yeah.
You've gone on a date.
Love it.
Give me a second. Uh-huh. I need to, you know, you go to the bathroom, you come out with only a Plover robe on. It's fucking game on.
Game over, yeah.
Game over.
Throw her a little, do you mind if I slip into something a little more comfortable? Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's all sorts of fun, loud styles. They're a great novelty item. They're a great gift. They're great for so many different occasions, and it's a robe that you will never forget.
Yeah.
Go to ploverrobes.com, promo code OOPS. You'll get 15% off your order.
Yeah. Ploverrobes.com/OOPS, promo code OOPS. You'll get 15% off. Make sure you use the /oops in the URL so that they know we are sending people their way.
Yes, please do that.
Ploverrobes.com. Get them now.
Okay, so we got another good one. And this one's called Emergency Excuse Gone Wrong.
Good. Okay.
So if you guys remember, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, the idea that the, you know, family emergency or whatever was kind of a dubious or whatever, just kind of like a lame excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse when people say I can't make it, I have a family emergency, that you immediately have doubts about it.
Yes, exactly.
So
so this is good. So hey guys, love the podcast. First time writing, so I'll just dive into it. As I had a pseudo family emergency story gone wrong when playing the family religion card.
Oh.
In college, I had 3-hour poetry class on Wednesday nights. Where the fuck did this guy go to college? Fucking Vassar.
Bard. Drew.
Not feeling class that week. It just so happened that a classmate who was devoutly Jewish asked me if I would be leaving class early for Yom Kippur. Now, yes, I am Jewish, but emphasis on the ish, as my mom is Jewish, but I don't really practice. I took the opportunity and told the professor I had to leave class 2.5 hours early to get home by sundown. He was suspicious, but obliged. And soon thereafter, karma kicked me in the teeth. I got a call 2 days later from the Dean of Religious Studies, thanking me for volunteering to be the student Jewish representative at the all campus, all faith service.
What?
About 10 seconds into that conversation, I realized that my teacher had volunteered me.
No way.
A week later, I was sitting on stage for the service. And then when they turned to the Jewish portion of the program, I had to go up in front of 800 plus people wearing a tallit and yarmulke to recite prayer in Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew, nor can I read Hebrew, so thank God I was able to find a phonetic translation. The takeaway, I may have won the battle, but karma always wins, and in this case, my teacher won the war.
Wow.
Savage poetry teacher.
Really good by the poetry teacher.
Poetic.
Really good. Yeah. So, okay, first of all, it's a brilliant move, right?
Hilarious.
But it's also the sort of thing that is, like, would you'd think might get the guy fired. You volunteering one of his students without consulting with him for a religious presentation simply because the guy was like, yeah, I got, just because you say I have to get home before sundown to, you know, celebrate Yom Kippur does not mean that you
need
are
to be the leader of the Jewish delegation.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not offering up your services to read Hebrew in front of a multi-denominational service.
Totally, bro.
So I'm surprised that both sides were able to have a good sense of humor about
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean? Doesn't that seem risky?
Absolutely. It seems like a definitely potential cross the line moment. I don't see that happening in today's world.
No.
I wonder how long ago that story happened. You can't really fuck, especially on a college campus, dude. Like, they're like the liberal fascists of society. Yeah. You can't say anything. You can't even rap along to a rap song. Or if you're not, you know, if that's cultural appropriation.
Have you ever had a bluff called and then you carried out the ruse?
Yeah, dude.
I have not let that person have the satisfaction.
So one time I borrowed money from a guy in college and I like didn't pay him back. And I was intending to eventually, but I just like didn't have any money. I was a college kid with no money. And the guy was like, and I told him, I was like, dude, I sent you the money. And he goes, dude, I never gave you my address.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, I did, dude. I did. And he's like, all right, man.
And he knew.
And there was just no getting out of it.
There's nothing you could do. Did you ever come clean? Did you ever back off the lie?
No, but I was ashamed.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
That is equally
cringeworthy.
Tough to swallow to this day. So I think we were just into college, freshman year, sophomore year. And when we would come home to Maine on breaks, we would always party at my friend Hillman's house. And I had a friend, I had Hillman. That was his first name, Hillman. And dude, by the way, his initials were H-M-A-N, H-Man. And we called him H-Man.
That's great. That's great.
And those were his real initials.
That's crazy.
Anyway. Hillman. So Hillman's a great guy. One of my old, you know, youngest childhood friends. And we had another friend, Ben. And Ben, you know, also Ben and Hillman and I were friends from first grade on. And we would always party at Hillman's house in high school and then in college. And when we came home from college, one time we were partying in the basement. And, you know, it's kind of like a low-key party. There were probably 20, 25 people there. Nothing nuts. And I had asked... I wanted to play beer pong in the laundry room. That was always where we played beer pong. And apparently Hillman's mom didn't really want us to play beer pong because it created a mess and all this. And I thought that if we just played, I would clean it up. She would never know. She didn't come downstairs and it'd be fine. And so I started setting up the game. And then Ben was like, what are you doing? Hillman's mom, did she say this was okay? And I was like, yeah. She said it was fine. He's like, okay. And then without me knowing, he went up and asked her if it was okay for us to play beer pong.
Oh, God.
And whether or not I had
asked her,
maybe even consulted. And she was like, no, I didn't speak to Francis. And no, it's not okay to play beer pong. And then he came back downstairs and he goes, okay, so you asked Hillman's mom, right? If you could play beer pong, right?
No, he fucking walked.
And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and what'd she say? And I was like, yeah, she said it was fine as long as we clean it up, whatever. Now he's got
it.
The proof. He's got the nuts. Oof. He's holding the royal flush. And he's just walking me more and more into my own lie. And clearly taking pleasure.
It's a setup.
It.
Yeah.
And he kept getting, he was like reeling me in with it and asking me more and more detailed questions. And I kept having to like invent more. And then it finally, at some point he cut me off. He was like, I know you're lying to my face. I just went up and talked to her. She said you didn't. None of this is true. Like, you can't play beer pong. And I didn't know how to handle that.
Oh my God.
First of all, I was so mad that.
Yeah, that's a fucked up way to deal with it.
A friend of mine would trap me that way.
Yeah. Especially over something so stupid. He should be on your side, too.
Yeah, what a
narc. Who gives
a
fuck about Hillman's
mom? First of all, what a narc.
No offense, Hillman. Your mom. Like, fuck your mom, dude. But that was fucked up. But I don't mean that. Sorry, I did.
It's fine. Friends, it's fine. I don't think you listen.
But, dude, but your friend should be on the side of, she's not going to come down here.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking play beer pong.
Right.
And who gives a shit? And we'll clean it up. No harm, no foul.
We were already like doing keg stands and shit. Yeah, I mean, dude. It's not as if, you know, adding a couple ping pong balls to the mix was really going to.
What a fucking Eddie Haskell narc, dude.
Yeah, but that's kind of who he was. Ben was always a sort of a, you know, Boy Scout in a way. And very like in with the parents and
yeah.
would spend, you know, when he'd come over to a house, he would spend time in the sitting room with the parents,
catching up
before he'd come down. But I never, dude, we didn't talk after that, Ben and I. That like hurt our friendship.
Totally.
And we didn't talk after that for months.
But
and then
you guys
at some point we like reconciled. And then, you know, we're very good friends again. And then we had another falling out issue. I don't remember what it was that time. But he's one of those friends where like we'll recover and be fine and then another crazy thing will happen over the years. And
Jesus,
right now we're not on speaking terms.
I think I do. I might know why you're not. Was it about like a letter that you wrote or something?
No, I don't think so.
About like somebody's like.
It had to do.
You wrote a letter, even though you hadn't spoken to somebody for a long time. Like when one of their family members passed away. Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, dude.
That's right.
See.
Yeah, that's a good memory. Yeah, I wanted to mend it with him.
Yeah,
that's good. Because his dad passed away, but I did write him the email, but I never heard back.
Yeah, you know, it's important to bury the hatchet sometimes, man. Like there are certain things.
How many times can you bury the hatchet?
I know, but you buried the hatchet there. I'm saying.
Like, so I'm not the last one, then.
No, and you know, even when it comes to like stupid things, like who deserves credit for what, like just these kind of things that you can get caught up on can really stunt progression of things that would otherwise be great. Sometimes you just have to make concessions because in the big picture, they don't end up mattering.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just,
it's amazing how grudges that I held years and years ago, I look back on now and I have no feeling whatsoever about them.
I know. That's good. It's good to not, dude. And I see people in our field who sort of like hold on to these grudges as fuel. This like anger, like I'll show them. And maybe this is sort of like and not like groundbreaking concept, but like, do you really want to give those people that much control over you?
No.
Just let it go, man. Like who gives a fuck about that person?
Yeah.
It's just about you. It's not about them. them thinking you weren't good. Who cares what they think? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
You have to try to get to a place where, you know, you have gratitude based on things that you're doing, so that things are in your control. You're happy for yourself because of what you're doing, not because you're getting kind of
right
affirmation from others.
Self-determination.
Totally, dude.
Speaking of self-determination, I have found that I don't know where, if this is a new thing, but I've become more aware of it. I need credit for very small things around the house. Very small things.
Like replacing a towel?
Emptying the dishwasher.
Thanks for doing that.
I've been waking up really early and I'll come upstairs and empty the dishwasher, put everything away. And then she'll come up a few hours later. And if she doesn't say, you know, thank you for emptying the dishwasher, I have this fear that she doesn't even realize that I did it.
And then
did you notice that I emptied the dishwasher? Or did that make you feel good or something? And she'd be like, yes, it did. But me doing that,
right, it kills,
annoys
you.
Her. Yeah, it undoes the good deed.
Totally.
Sorry.
You got to not say anything there, dude.
I know, but I can't help myself.
And because I know you're thinking, you're like, you need stuff in the win column so that she can't act like you're not contributing.
No, it's not about the scoreboard. I'm not keeping score. It's that I'm proud of myself for doing nice little things. And I want to bring them to the fore. I want them to be in front of us so that we can look at them together and say, that was a good thing that you did. I'm a dog.
I feel you though.
I'm a dog. Dude, I need to be patted and given a bone.
If I order food for everybody and nobody Venmos me and no one says thank you, that upsets me sometimes.
Yeah, that's a big deal though.
But you know, it could be like a small group and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to order whatever. And then nobody says anything. And this would be a group of people who are generous.
Uh-huh.
And that's still like, I have to kind of beat it out of my brain that I shouldn't be like, that's mildly tough. Salty about it.
It does. I get that.
You know?
Yes, I understand that. And yet for me, my things for which I expect credit or will ask for credit are so minor. They're so minor. They're such little things.
All right, what else you got?
I don't know. Making the bed, even though I make the bed every day. I don't ask for credit for making the bed. Putting clothes away. You know, cleaning up. I've been trying to like clean up a lot. I do my stuff around the house, but even now I'm doing it. By virtue of me sharing this on the podcast, it is with the expectation that people will be like, wow, he's a pretty good guy. He's holding up his end of the bargain.
Dude, I have found that by setting a good example like that and by doing the right thing, credit comes along. It doesn't go completely unnoticed. It's the same as like that Seinfeld bit where, you know, he tips the guy and the guy doesn't notice. Yeah. So he then takes the money out and the guy thinks he's taking the money. Like sometimes there's been times where like I tipped somebody, I talk about this on the travel pod, but like I gave this lady a really big tip and she didn't even notice.
Yeah.
And for a second that like bothered me, but like, it's not about that. It's about doing the good deed. It really is. It's not about you.
It is about it though. It's so much about it is getting the thank you, the raised eyebrow thank you from the person receiving the big tip. Whoa, that I didn't expect to see a $20 bill here, you know?
Dude, totally. I really think that if you lose the battle occasionally with like not getting credit for stuff by just being a good dude, like you win the war.
It comes back
big time. And so, not even like a karma thing, in a more tangible way. Like you will get the credit. The credit will be given. You will get it.
Okay. So maybe more people are noticing than we realize.
A and B, like if you're doing that, it's not like that's the only good thing you've ever done. The only generous, like if you just continue to be a good dude, it will come back. And, mm-hmm. and not only will it come back, but people will notice.
Okay.
And it's good to be a good dude.
I got something for you that's going to blow your mind.
I love it.
So I took the subway into the city today and then came back on the subway and,
the old chop chop.
Yeah, exactly. I got a chop. The F train at York Street where I got out, you've probably ridden it
many times.
There's a long exit coming out of the subway.
Chris talks about that and acts like it's something that's insane, but there are definitely other
subway. There are others that are that bad.
But that one is long.
But it's noticeably bad. It's not a subway where you can just walk up some stairs and all of a sudden you're outside. You have to, especially if you don't know how to orient yourself on the train.
There's a corridor.
If you're in the front of the train, you're fucked.
That's true, because there aren't dual exits.
You need to station yourself at the very back of the train while you wait for it, and then you get on at the back. And then you get off, you walk up some stairs, and then there's a super long corridor that you have to, and it's uphill that you walk up, and then there's another two staircases.
Dude, you sound like one of those guys, though, that like will only park in the parking spot at the grocery store that's like the closest to the entrance.
It doesn't bother me because I ride the subway so infrequently now, but you know, if this were back in the when I used to ride the subway all the time, it would bug me. But here's what I have to say, okay? So we get off the train, and there is an elderly woman with one of those weird rolling of like day. It's like half a moving pallet type thing. It's something that you might expect a member of the postal service to carry.
Dude, it's like it's the everyone you know is dead starter kit.
Yeah.
It really is.
What is in
it's
there?
It's a sad sight.
It's a metal frame as though she's going to kick it under some boxes, tilt it, and then push it. So it's a metal frame with wheels, but then there's like a big bag on the front of it.
It's always unclear what's in there. That's a good point.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
A little roller has four wheels.
Yeah. So she gets to the bottom of the staircase. Now I'm already halfway up the stairs. And this is the thought process in my mind. First of all, given that it's COVID, she might not want me touching her bag, right? This is an elderly woman.
Totally. High-risk individual.
People, like, good deeds and getting close to people right now might be more trouble than it's worth, right? But I look back, and she is now doing the only thing she can. There's no elevator to take you out of the subway. She has turned around and is walking backwards up the stairs and pulling this thing one step at a time. And it's heavy. You can tell from looking at it, the way that she's struggling. And it's going to take her 20 minutes to get out of the subway.
Poor little thing.
So I'm like, all right, fuck this. So I walk back down the stairs, right? Now, as I'm walking back down the stairs to go offer my services to help her, I pass maybe three or four young people who are now I'm going against the traffic of that stairs. And there's a railing in the middle, and clearly one side is the downstairs and one is the up. And I'm now going against traffic. So they're kind of glaring at me a little, right? They're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Going against the grain. But then I get down to the elderly woman and I say, you know, why don't you let me take that for you? And she goes, oh, thank you so much. And I had a pair of gloves in my bag. So I put a glove on to grab the handle. And then I kind of like tried to hold it aloft instead of bouncing it up the stairs the way that she was, but it was hard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I better be careful. You know, I'm not strong enough that this is easy. So I carry it up the stairs. I get it to the top. She's so grateful. She takes it back and I say, have a great day. But then I know there's another fucking staircase, right? So I go all the way down the hallway. I go out the turnstiles, and then I just wait. I wait, right, for this woman. And then the crowd files out. That same group of young people I had passed sees me, and they kind of looked at me a little bit. They're like studying me.
Like, what's this guy doing?
What's he doing waiting, you know, whatever. But they're kind of like waiting a little too. It was weird. And they held the emergency exit door. This is a very New York story.
For like, her?
Yeah, for her. Yeah, right. And then she comes out, and I was like, why don't you let me take it up these stairs too? And again, so grateful. So I then lug it up the next two stairs, and now finally we're out on the street, and I'm like, have a great day. By this point, those four young people I had passed are all congregating in a group at the top of the stairs. Get this.
Oh my God.
They were her family members.
What? And they didn't help her?
And they let me help her and didn't say anything, didn't do anything themselves. And they were like young, pretty hefty guys. two of them, and then two young women.
That is horrifying.
They just watched as I did this. But by the first time that I offered, they had already missed their opportunity to help.
Right.
They were all related because then they started talking together in like Spanish and then moved off
Jesus,
together.
Jesus, dude. Jesus. That's fucked up.
Now, they may not have been family, but they were like together. And my only guess is that they were family.
Bro, family or not, you're in a group and you're with an elderly person who's struggling to carry her fucking webbed basket up the stairs, dude, with wheels on it.
I walked from the subway to my apartment stunned. Stunned by this complete lack of humanity from these four young people.
That is stunning.
And also it, like, there was no recognition from them of, well, thank goodness this, you know, strapping young man came along to help our elderly grandmother or whatever.
Dude,
because we weren't going to do it. I couldn't fathom what had happened.
That's crazy. You hate to say
what that. Do you want? Take a stab at defending them for that one.
Oh God, dude, why don't you?
I don't have anything. That's too fucked. I don't know. Sometimes the exercise isn't even worth it. The best I could have is that, you know, they were like, well, he looks like he exercises and probably needs some.
But they had already gone past her before they even knew you were there, right? Like,
they were walking ahead of her up the stairs and they were not checking on her that much. But I will say that when I went back down to help her, it was as if they were like, why is he going to interact with our family member?
They thought you were going to like mug her.
I don't know. But they were very interested in me. They were like clearly paying attention to me and my interaction with this elderly woman.
So it's funny, this doesn't necessarily apply here, but it could be one of those situations where like people get mad at you for a good deed because it's like, it's kind of like taking a shot at their pride. Like, have you ever done this? Have you ever had good seats and you leave the game early and you go to someone who has shitty seats and try to give them your tickets?
No.
I've done that before. And I'm not trying to like make you seem like whatever. There's been times where people have done it to me and I appreciated it so much that I'll leave a tennis tournament early or a basketball game early and I'll go to somebody who has terrible seats and give them my ticket. But I would say more often than not, people decline because
by that point,
because they're like, what are you, these seats are perfectly fine for me.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So maybe it's like one of those kind of things. It's like, oh, Mr. Hero, like she's fine.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know. Right. If they were looking at you salty, at least.
She actually enjoys carrying the bag. Keeps her
She
young.
Needs exercise. It's good for her bones.
Well, yeah. After this, we're going to she's going to push a rock up a hill.
We're going bowling. Wednesday bowling league. Awesome.
Well, all right.
Dude, oops, the podcast.
That's
good stuff.
It. Fascinating episode. Good
enjoy,
stuff,
enjoy your trip.
Thank you.
I think you're going to have a great time.
I am.
I'm
excited.
Looking forward to it for you.
Yeah. Take a look on my Instagram, Oops Faithful, and let me know if you think that the things that I end up posting from this trip are in good taste or are in poor taste, or whether you have zero opinion whatsoever.
I like that you're putting it out there like that.
Yeah, good judge me.
So keep sending us your emails. We love reading them. Oopspodcast@gmail.com. Check out our Instagram, Oops the Podcast, all that stuff. And please comment, like our stuff, especially on the podcast page. If you can give us a rating or say something, however you feel about it, we would really appreciate it. And it helps us go up the rankings. We want to be one of the biggest podcasts out there.
Possibly. Hell yeah, baby.
He's Francis CC Ellis. I'm Not Julio on Instagram. Thank you guys very much. Enjoy yourselves.